Amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning, and what a blessing it has already been just being in the house of the Lord. I trust that you have already sensed the presence of God in this place. If you have your Bibles with you, if you would look with me to the book of Proverbs in chapter 4. The book of Proverbs in chapter 4. Solomon being inspired by God to write in the book of Proverbs. Now, the first nine chapters of Proverbs is more of a story form. The rest of it are antithetical statements pretty much through the rest of the book of Proverbs and a collection that Solomon brought together. But in the beginning here, we find that God allowed and inspired Solomon to write concerning a father to his son. And not only would this be in Solomon writing to his son, but it would be God the Father, you know, giving us as his children the very same instruction. And so if you'll stand with me, we're going to be reading here Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. The Bible says, "Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many." Then verse 11. "I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths." And let's pray. Father, as we bow before you this morning, Lord, thank you for, first of all, your presence in this place. And thank you for all that have taken advantage of the opportunity they had to be in church today and that have come, have assembled themselves together here. And I pray, God, this morning that each one of us would have an ear to hear what you have to say to us today, and then a heart to make an application. I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So Solomon, as being inspired by God, gives the invitation for his children in verse 1 to come and to receive instruction. It's an invitation. I believe that God would invite whosoever will. No matter who you are around the globe, God loves you. And he invites you to come for biblical instruction. The instructions first and foremost on what a person must do to be saved. And there's only one plan of salvation. God has one plan of salvation, and all, if they are to come to Jesus, come to God, must come to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so confessing and forsaking our sins, turning and asking Jesus Christ to come into our hearts and to forgive us for our sin and to save our soul. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so God invites all to come to that understanding, that knowledge. He also has instructions for all of his children. And in verse 11, I love what it says here, and this is basically the message I want to preach to you this morning. Solomon says, "I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths." Taught thee and led thee. Can I say that's the instructions for every father concerning their children? Fathers ought to teach and lead their children. If we look at our problem society today and possibly around the world, would be that we don't have fathers taking on the role that God has given them and teaching, instructing, and then leading their children. The Proverbs teach us quite a bit. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8 and 9, my son, hear the instructions of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck, positive decorative chains about thy neck. If you look over in chapter 2 and verses 1 through 5, the Bible says, Proverbs here, as Solomon writes, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, if we'll do that, then verse 5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Find the knowledge of God. In chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. These are things that your children can benefit from if they have these things. That's what he's talking about. In chapter 4, down to verse 20, it says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. All the positive things are coming out from children who are being instructed by a godly father teaching your children the things of God. There in chapter 6 and verse 20. And why in chapter 6 and verse 20? The Bible says, my son, keep thy father's commandments and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. What a blessing. What a blessing in all that Solomon is revealing here. If his children would receive the knowledge of God, that he would teach them. In Solomon's wisdom, he knew of the importance of instruction and a personal example. Amen. All parents ought to want the very best for their children. And if you think back, and some are going through this now, but even before your child would ever come into this world, you were concerned and you had to have that nursery or that baby room just the way that you wanted it when that baby come home. I know my wife had to have the pink. It had to be girls, so it had to be everything about girly things in there. And she had to have it all decorated, had it all set for when that moment came and she would give birth to her children, that she would be able to bring them home in a place prepared for them, and starting out right, wanting to make sure that they were secure and had a place where they could be safe. Then as our children grow, then we have to, those terrible twos, and you know that they're getting into everything, and as our children grow, we want to safeguard the house, and you have to go around and you put locking cabinets and how to keep them out of the cabinets where they're going to get into that detergent and everything else, and you have to do everything you can, try to put plugs in the light sockets, and you try to safeguard the house. Why? Because you want your children to be safe. You want them to be able to grow in safety, and so that you can raise them so they can turn out right and turn out to love the Lord. And so you're training them the whole time. And I remember, I think as my oldest there, the first child, Crystal, there, when we was training her and we had a fireplace, and Crystal was over there by the fireplace, and I remember looking at her, and she's 2 years old or so, and I said, no, that's hot, don't touch. And she looked at me and she reached out her hand and touched it. Well, she started screaming. Amen. She learned the word hot, and she started crying, and I started crying, and everything else. I thought, you know, you failed to protect her from doing that, but if she had listened, amen. But you do what you can as your children are, you're raising your children. You want them to turn out right, and you want the very best for your children. Can I tell you, parenting is a lifetime of instruction and leading. Instruction and leading. So we find here that God inspired Solomon to write, and he's preserved it for us to learn from. And he says, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. What's the most important things for your children to learn? I could probably go around the auditorium today and ask different mothers and different fathers, and you possibly would get different answers. What you put on a priority list as far as what you want for your children to learn, what is the most important thing that you want to make sure that you instill within the hearts and the minds of your children? As the answers may vary, if you have the knowledge of God, if you know that God exists, and you have the knowledge of God's word and faith to believe it, I believe that you'll agree the most important is godly wisdom. Godly wisdom. Look what he says about that in verse 4. The Bible says, he taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words and keep my commandments and live. As you go through life, you need this. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not. Talking about wisdom. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. If you instill this godly wisdom in a child's heart and mind, it will determine how they live their life. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. As being inspired by the Holy Spirit, he writes, wisdom is the principal thing. This is what's most important, this godly wisdom. It's a principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, and a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Do we have that understanding that the most important thing for our children to learn is godly wisdom? It'll guide a person through life. And more importantly than that, it will prepare them for eternity. Can I tell you that this is, godly wisdom is the doctrine of God. It's understanding who God is and understanding what God has revealed to humanity. Solomon would write in verse 2, for I give you good doctrine. Not sensations. Not entertainment. Not sports. Not all those things. I don't think there's anything wrong with sensations from time to time. There's nothing wrong with entertainment from time to time. There's nothing wrong with getting our children involved in sports. But Solomon says, I give you sound, good doctrine. The doctrine of God is the wisdom of God. It produces wisdom. If we give them sound doctrine. It's the same biblical principle as, and you've heard this before, but give a man a fish and you feed him for a day. And that day is a good day. That day he's taking care of some of his desires and some of his needs, and you're feeding him for a day, and he enjoys that, and he is thankful for that possibly. But it's just a day. If that's all you did, you cannot sustain him. All you did is feed him for a day. And then it goes on, teach a man to fish, feed him for a life. You might want to get your child into sports, and you might think that's the most important thing, but that's just temporary. Most parents that have this idea of their children going to become professional sports, professional athletes, and make $1 million and take care of mom and dad afterwards. You hear of some of those stories, but as far as a percentage-wise, don't bet on it. Yeah. They might enjoy that. You want to just make sure that your children are entertained and they enjoy it. You want to have the entertaining music and do the right, all the things that are just going to have fun and parties and all the different things. Yes, there's nothing wrong with a little bit of entertainment, a little bit of that type of thing, but that's not going to sustain your child through their lives. They might enjoy that at the time, and you might, that fish will feed that person for that day. But what is far more important, if you teach a man how to fish, then you can feed him for a life. All the other things the world has to offer, some of them are all right in moderation, but the most important principles, the most important things to instill within your children, what they need more than anything else is the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God, once they have it and they hold on to it and they understand the importance of it, it will guide them through the rest of their lives, and it will prepare them for what is even more important than this life, and that is eternal life. It'll prepare them for the day that they're going to face death, and it's the point that a man wants to die. It'll prepare them for when they stand before an almighty God and get judged. It'll prepare them for that. Because that is coming. Death is coming to all. Judgment is coming to all. And if we are not prepared for that, how miserable. Yeah. John chapter 7, I believe that's what Jesus was getting across. And Jesus come, he says in John chapter 7 and verse 14. When he came, the Bible says, now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. This was God in human flesh. And what he did during his public ministry, before he would go to the cross, he would teach Bible doctrine. He would teach the truths of God. He went up to the temple and taught, and the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never been learned, never learned? Because he was God. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He gave us an example of what was most important for people to learn. It's the doctrines of God. The principal thing. Because you can't have godly wisdom without knowing who God is. You can't have godly wisdom without knowing what God has revealed to us, what we can know about God and life and eternity. And once a person has that, they are prepared for life. You can deal with the tragedies of life. You can deal with the storms of life. You can deal with whatever life brings your way if you have godly wisdom. Teach godly wisdom. Teach the doctrines of God. And then Solomon said, not only, hear, O my son, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. Then he says, I have led thee in the right paths. God would have us to teach, but then God would have us to lead. I have led thee in right paths. How are we supposed to know right from wrong? How are we supposed to know good from evil? The prophets of the Bible said that in the latter days, people will be calling that which is evil good and that which was good evil. Today, can I tell you that most humanity are looking at that which God calls evil, and even some an abomination to God, and they're trying to force it on everyone else as something that is good? Yeah. Where'd that come from? That come from prophecy. The Bible says in the end days, that's what will take place. We understand that. So I'm not going to be persuaded by human reasoning and human philosophy to accept something that God says it is sin. Whatever that might be. Godly wisdom will reveal to me exactly what is right and wrong, good and evil. And once I understand what is right and wrong, good and evil, then as a father, a Christian father, I must lead by example my children to know what's right. You lead according to sound Bible doctrine. Can I tell you, when you do that, doctrine will lead to separation in standards. Because you realize that that's more important than entertainment. A lot of churches today, they're not focused on doctrine, they're focused on entertainment. Because that's what most people are looking for. Because they're blinded to what they need and what their children need. And they think the children are drawn to this, and if the children are drawn to entertainment, you might feed them that fish for that day. But what is it going to do for them for the rest of their life? What our children need is not entertainment and not what they want out of life. They need to know the understanding what is the real reality of life. They need to understand the spiritual battles that are going to take place in their life. They need to understand what they're going to face going forward in their life, what they're going to face when it comes to a time of death, what they're going to face when it comes to a time of judgment, what they're going to face when it comes to eternity. They need to understand the doctrines of God. Church is not here to bring entertainment. Praise the Lord. I've never been in a church that has better music than this church has. But can I tell you, that's not entertainment. You might be entertained, but that's not what is presented to you. You listen to what they sing, and that is spiritual truths. That is ministry. They are ministering to your soul by preaching and through the song truths of God's word. Doesn't have a Bible message, it's not going to be sung here. We want to make sure that we are in ministry. We are not in the entertainment business. We want to make sure that we are preaching not philosophies. We are preaching the doctrines of the Bible, because I know that if I can influence my children, but if I can influence a congregation with the doctrines of God, I have equipped you for whatever life brings you. This last week, we had three family members of our church lose siblings unexpectedly. Three of them just this last week. My heart went out to each one, and we prayed for them. But can I tell you, each one was strengthened by the doctrines of God? They were strengthened, first of all, to know that God is in control of all things. There are no accidents in God's will. God understands. God knows all things. He allows things to happen, and he brings things into our lives, but he has a purpose for that. And when you know that God has a purpose, it will help you to deal with that tragic loss. To understand that there is a place of heaven, that when our saved loved ones, when they die and they leave this world, they're not in a grave. They're not in a cold casket. That's the house that they lived in, but their spirit goes to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And can I tell you, that is a doctrine. When you have the faith to understand and believe that, it will comfort you when you go through that loss. The only true comfort in death is life. But if you don't have Bible doctrine, you don't have the understanding of life. It prepares you. It's what you need. It's what you need and what you ought to receive. And it's God's will for every child to be raised to receive the teachings of the doctrines and be led by the influence of godly parents. Yeah. Doctrines lead to separation. Because when you separate yourself from temptations and evil, then you're less likely to get involved in evil. Doctrines will lead us to standards. because it identifies you. I want to be identified as a child of God. I want to be identified as the man that God created me to be. You ought to want to, if you're a man, the one thing you can do that a woman cannot do is you can glorify God as a man. Be the man God wants you to be. If you're a woman, you can do something that no man can do, and you can glorify God as a woman. Be the woman that God has created you to be. Wow. It will lead to standards. Godly doctrine will lead to separation and standards. Look at Titus chapter 2 with me. Titus, you say, why does the church have standards? Why does the church... Because that's doctrine. There is a doctrine of separation. We need to understand it. And it's there for our safety. It's there for your children's safety. Titus chapter 2. Titus in chapter 2 and verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Look down to verse 7. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Verse 10. Not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. This grace of God, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. You have to deny that, turn away from that. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That comes by separation and standards. Looking for that blessed hope. This is what you'll do when you're focused on the things of God. You'll focus on looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who is coming back, amen, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. As a father in your home, you need to present that. You need to first of all teach that doctrines of God, and then you need to lead them by your own testimony of the doctrines of God being applied in your own life. Promote them through how I live my life. You see, your children will be more apt to receive God's doctrines if they see it in you. And they are looking to you. God designed them to look to you. I love the poem. It says to any daddy, there are little eyes upon you, and they're watching night and day. There are little ears that quickly take in every word you say. There are little hands all eager to do everything you do. And a little boy who's dreaming of the day he'll be just like you. You're the little fellow's idol. You're the wisest of the wise. In his little mind about you, no suspicions ever rise. He believes in you devoutly, holds that all you say and do. He will say and do in your way when he's grown up like you. This wide-eyed little fellow who believes you're always right, and his ears are always open, and he watches day and night. You're setting an example every day in all you do for the little fellow who's waiting to grow up to be just like you. How true that is. Are we instructing our children the most important thing? Have you prioritized biblical doctrine to be instilled within your children? And once you have taught them, as Solomon said, that he is teaching them, then he is leading them in the right paths. Are we giving them a personal example and leading them in the right paths? As we have this testimony of Solomon, can I tell you that Solomon messed up? The Bible records that, tells us why. He allowed the position he had and the women that was offered to him to turn his heart against God. Can I tell you, if that happened to Solomon and God's recorded, it can happen to any one of us. Because when you fall, it will impact generations to follow. Solomon messed up, but God's recorded for us. And today, in this New Testament church age, he's given us things that'll help us to not mess up. He's given us some things that will help us to be the men that God wants us to be and to prioritize the teaching of the doctrine and then leading our families in the right paths. He first of all has given you, Dad, if you're saved, an indwelling of his Holy Spirit. Solomon didn't have that. Because Jesus came and he told them as he would accomplish what he came to do, he would ascend and he would send another comforter. He was a comforter for the time that he spent on this earth. But as he ascended to heaven, he said, I'll send another comforter that will dwell in you. And today, and for some 2,000 years, when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, he sends to dwell within your heart the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. He lives within you. And if you're saved, he will convict you. If you're saved, he will help you. He will lead, guide, and direct you in the paths that God wants you to take. He will help you to have the ability to teach and to instruct your children. He will give you the insight. He will help you in every way if you will allow him to work in your life. Men, today we have that God has given to us, and we need to pray and ask God to strengthen us every day of our lives to keep us from falling, from keep us from failing our families. Continuing to instruct them and to lead them. Not only that, we have something that Solomon didn't have. We have the completion of the Word of God. We have the New Testament, which is the completion of the will of God. The Old Testament was a school teacher bringing us to the place of understanding what has been God's will all along. Amen. We have that. Do you know it? Are you looking to learn from it? Are you looking to learn it so that you can instruct it? Listen to me, Dad. God has made it available to you. You have a Holy Spirit that will reveal it to you. He'll help you to understand it, but you need to have a desire to learn it so that you can take that learning and then be able to instruct your children in that way. So many kids have been instructed, and they know, and they could tell you every professional athlete and the stats of every athlete and on and on and on and again, and that's feeding them for a day. They need more than that. They need something that's going to preserve them for life and eternity. That's the Word of God. That's the Word of God. God has given to us the Holy Spirit. Realize that. God has given us the completion of the Word of God. Realize that. We have it. We have the answers to whatever questions our children have. If you know the Word of God, you have the right answers. The Bible has all the right answers. And it's available to you, Dad, to learn that so that you might be able to do the most important thing that you have on this earth to do, and that is to instruct your children and lead them by example. There's one last thing that we have that Solomon didn't have. And you're in it. The local New Testament church. Where you can come and you can hear the Word of God preached. Where you can come, and if you're living a biblical life and you're instructing your children in a biblical way and you're wanting to lead them in the paths of righteousness by example, it's going to support that. You need to be in a church that supports the doctrines of God, which includes separation and standards. It does. All this. What's the most important thing for your child to learn? Do you know God? Do you know His Word? If you do, then you know how to pray. And you know the most important thing for you to do for your child is to give them that which will lead them throughout their entire lives and into God's eternity. All we need to do now is prioritize it and do it. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed, every dad here ought to have that desire. Every father. God has given you that position of headship. God's given you that position as man of the house. What are you doing with it? What are you doing with the opportunities that God's given to you to make a difference in your children's lives? Be the dad. Be the dad that God has created you to be. Father, we bow before you now. We do love you, Lord, and thank you for each one that's come through the doors of this church. Desire to be in the presence of God and to worship and praise you and to receive instructions from the preaching and the teaching of thy word. I pray, God, that each one would have received that which will strengthen them to help them to be all they can be, especially the fathers today. I pray now that you'd work in this invitation. If there's decisions that need to be made, I pray that they would be made and not put aside. For this we ask in Jesus' name.